Yeah. sing. They're about Jesus and praising his name. So I thought this was just a wonderful song. It's been years since I've heard it. And let's do this.
That I am. Oh, there will be peace in the valley for me. Someday there will be peace in the valley for me. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no more trouble will be. For there will be peace in the valley for me.
You to pray for him here in just a few minutes, and I want us to keep this service what we've felt, what we've been able to learn through this service. I want us to hang on to that, and let's continue throughout the remainder of this service to grow in the Lord. I'm glad you're here today. We're one of the few churches in the community that's having service today. And it's good to see you, and I'm glad that you're here today. And I love the Lord. I want to share one thing with you before I turn it over to Brother Bobby. And it's good to have all the ministers with us today. And I've talked to the sick folks this past week. Everybody that I talked to is doing better, lots better. They did tell me if the weather was bad on Sunday that they wouldn't be here. So you see the weather, they're not here. So that's where we're at. But they are doing a lot better, and so I'm glad to hear that. But a very dear friend of mine passed away last week. His name was Harry Perrier, and he was about 80 years old. And I met him about 14 or 15 years ago, and I was his dog handler, if you'll have it. And I lived up in Huntsville, and Harry had a very southern, deep southern South Georgia drawl, if you've ever heard that. Harry talked like this, and dollars wasn't dollars, but they were dollars. If you ever heard Pat Dye or your governor speak, he spoke a lot like them. But Harry was one of the most generous people that I ever met. I would keep his dog during the hunting season, and he was continually calling me, asking me how much money he needed to send. He was always sending gifts in the mail. He was doing it, and I would tell him, Harry, you've sent enough. I enjoy taking care of your dog. And he said, well, if you don't hunt him, he won't ever get hunted. But there was a lot I didn't know about him. I knew he was a naval commander, and I knew that he had been to several universities and had several degrees. But at his funeral, the preacher preached the most necessary message. And he said when he gave the scripture that he was going to preach on, he said, I have never preached on the thought of the Good Samaritan. Never. Never at a funeral. But he said, Harry was raised in Senatobia, Mississippi. His daddy was a country doctor. And he drove his daddy around when he was 15, 16 years old. He would drive his daddy around their small town to make house calls. And he said Harry realized that him and his family were a little more blessed than a lot of the people they were going to make house calls to. He could tell by the houses they lived in Little Mississippi that they were about on the verge of poverty. Said his daddy a lot of times never received payment for it. His medical care, and he knew that a lot of them couldn't pay it. But the preacher said that Harry made an oath that he would devote his life to trying to help those less fortunate. His daddy pushed him to go to college to be a doctor, and Harry said, I'll go to college, but I'm not going to be a doctor. He said, I'm going to try to help people in a different way. He went to Mississippi State, got a degree, went to Florida State and got a degree, went to seminary, Southern Seminary. And then somehow with all, I don't know how he did it all through his life, but somehow or another he advanced in the Navy to be a Navy commander. And then after that, he became a hospital administrator. And his job as a hospital administrator was to go around all through the Southeast to rural hospitals and to help them with what they needed in taking care of the people in those communities. Harry gave a lot more than he received. He collected knives, and he was always giving people pocket knives. He was always sending money here, there, everywhere. His wife would get on him about how much money he was sending. But the Lord had blessed Harry. He had made a good bit of money for his life. And at his funeral, they had a big basket there as he walked into the sanctuary there. They had a big basket just slap full of pocket knives, brand new in the case. And there was a sign that said, take one, take two, take three, however many you want. I thought that even in his death, he was still giving. But I that to say this. A man that I thought I knew a lot about, I found out a lot more about at his funeral. And it gave me Brother Dodd an option to try to be more like that. And I just wanted to share that with you. And I'm going to miss him. I'm going to miss his deep southern accent when he would call. I would ask him how he was doing, and he was a very sickly man the last few years of his life, and I'd ask him how he was doing. He said, "Steve, I hurt all over my legs, my arms, I can't get out and walk." He said, "But that's neither here nor there." He said, "How you doing?" He was more concerned with how's Austin doing? How's your wife? How's your church? Just wanted to share that with you. Come ahead, preacher. I love you.
My. I'd love to have nice things said about me like that someday, but the truth's the truth, brother. It is. Good to be here this morning. I don't slack in any meaning or heartfelt truth when I say that. It's good to be here this morning. I did not expect to preach this morning, but I told Brother Steve I prepared anyway. I know better than not to, Brother Steve, and that's just what my life is now. And I can't complain. In fact, I wouldn't swap with any one of you. We're not rich by any stretch of the imagination, and the financial decisions we made late in life caused us to be just as poor as we were early in life for a short period of time. But we're thankful for the opportunity that was given us. And we're thankful for what the Lord has blessed us with.
Sure.
We're thankful for our position and our calling in life. I'm thankful that I can pick up God's word and the Spirit of God will lead me in it. I'm thankful that I can preach, not because I know how, but that God preaches, that he sends the preacher to help. And his word goes out. Brother Steve, we talked about it a while ago. This written word here, it ain't just a written word like the text Brother David mentioned in Sunday school. We've got the Spirit that goes with it. The Spirit of discernment. That Holy Ghost, that Holy Comforter. We talked about our words comforting people, Brother Mike. But that's why, because the Holy Comforter teaches us this. And I'm thankful for the opportunity. And I saw Brother Steve wrestling. He said, "Do I look nervous?" And I said, "Yeah, you do. I'm familiar with that, Brother Steve. I certainly am." And I remember the last verse of the last song, just saying, "Lord, I'll trust you. I trust you, Lord. I trust you." And get a message in that last. So what I thought I was going to preach the next time I preached, or what the Lord was leading me with this morning, is not what we're going to preach today. I don't know. I'm just going to mind the Lord this morning. This won't take very long as far as I know. And you might see my wife settle in over there when I say that. But you don't pay no attention to her. I was kind of glad she was going to get to hear some preaching from somebody besides me this morning. I was going to hear some powerful preaching this morning.
Bless you,
Lord. But I'm sorry, hon. You stuck with me again. I blame it on the Lord this morning. We're going to read from Exodus. Genesis, the 50th chapter. It's the last chapter in Genesis. And I read the top of the page just now. You can tell I'm a little bit nervous too. But I said all that to say this morning. God is good this morning. He's wonderful this morning. I sure would love to have heard Brother Steve preach this morning. Maybe we'll get to hear him preach soon again. But we're going to read here about Joseph. We talked a little bit about something that we read in this morning in Sunday school. And if you'll forgive me this morning, I've got to the point to where I'm used to wearing a tie because I usually clip a mic on it. So I'm not going to take it off and get it out of the way, but I just got used to it. Now, I used to hate this thing. I used to hate having to put on one. When I was younger, I talked about wearing a monkey suit and being all strapped. But now it's just as natural now as, as getting up, brushing my teeth in the morning, and putting on a tie. I actually know how to tie one now. And I wouldn't have if the Lord hadn't called me to preach, Brother Bo. But I'm thankful for my opportunity this morning. Are you thankful for where you're at in life?
Amen.
Are you thankful for what you're doing? Are you thankful for your position? Are you thankful for the opportunities that come your way in your job? Are you thankful? We ought to be this morning. We certainly ought to be. Because there's no end to this thing. When I read the book, Brother Bo, I said it 2 or 3 times because I wasn't reading out of the hymnal when we were singing the song. But I say through eternity. And the book says in eternity. There is no through eternity. There's no end to eternity,
right,
Brother Steve. And Brother Michael has taught us years ago, and I'll never forget, that eternity goes just as far that way as it does that way. So there is no beginning or end to eternity. And so there's no end to this. We may step out of this fleshly road someday, but there's no end to this on the inside of us that's made in the likeness and the image of God. And I said all that to say this morning. If we had a thought this morning, it would be just to be content and moving on this morning. Be content. There's a lot of things that we want to see that we may not see. But we need to be content where we're at this morning. We're going to read, starting in the 14th verse, I'm going to read to the end of the chapter. And there may be more reading than there are preaching this morning, but just pray for us. We desire your prayers this morning. Like I said this morning, there's a scripture that says a prophet is not without honor, save in his own home or his own country. I'm just glad I'm not a prophet this morning. I'm glad I just feel at home this morning. I'm glad that the honor this morning goes to the Lord.
Amen.
To our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Starting with verse 14, it said, "And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. Now I said that all wrong. And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up to him to bury his father after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall you say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And be comforted. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children of also Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware unto Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from him. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And I'd like for us to, thinking about that last verse there, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. We look back over here and see what is going on. And for those of you who are not familiar, Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. They thought about killing him, but one of his brothers spoke up and said, No, let's just get rid of him some way. Joseph had a dream as a young man. They called him the dreamer. And Joseph had dreamed that this dream, and the interpretation was that his brothers would bow down before him and pay obeisance to him. That made him mad, and that younger of the brothers at that time, one of the youngest, had said that, and they didn't like him. He was a little tattletale as far as they were concerned. So they sold him into a band of people that were coming by, And Joseph was taken up to Egypt over there. And Joseph there found a favor with Pharaoh. And Pharaoh gave him more and more responsibility. And before you know it, Joseph is second only to Pharaoh in the land over there. And Joseph, because God had showed Pharaoh vision, Joseph over there had instructed Egypt what to do so that they wouldn't starve when the famine came. And God used Joseph over there so that those in Egypt would have food and have plenty. In doing so, he did the same thing for his brethren and his father over there. There was plenty, and they heard they could go to Egypt, that there was bread in Egypt. So they went over there, and there was substance over there in Egypt. Because God used Joseph in the situation he was in. Now, Brother Steve, if it was me, I tell you, I wouldn't want to be a slave. My wife's honeydews list is more than I want to do in a day's time. It is. I don't think sometimes accuser of not having a clock because the list is longer than the day is. And I'm getting a lot slower in what I do and how I do things. And I'm not picking on her. Your husbands know what I'm talking about. Now, you certainly do. And as we get older, we get slower. Over there, I think about Joseph over there. As he got older over there, I want to say his heart just learned to love more than it did before. I believe Joseph understood where he was and had a relationship with God through the whole experience. And when his brothers came to him, and they said, "Oh, we be thy servants." It said over there that Joseph wept. He wept because he was sad that his brothers wasn't close enough to God to understand why they were in the position they were in. That it was God. He had to explain it to them that it was God's plan all along. A lot of times we'll get in a situation and we'll say, "Oh, this is horrible. I've offended this one." We just don't realize God can touch hearts. God can reach people. God can communicate when we can.
That's right.
And he can make a way when there is none. We think we're here today because we decided to come. But God put us here today. He did. He's had some of us here for a long time. And he's had some of us out here for a little while. But today, Brother Steve, I came this way this morning because God wanted me to preach this morning.
Sure.
He wanted me to preach here this morning. Did I know that? No. What do I need to do? Just keep on preaching. Just keep on going. What do we need to do in our life? We need to stand strong when the storms come against us. And we need to remember that Joseph was buried and put him in a coffin in Egypt. He never got to get out of there. He went as a young man and he stayed there his whole life. But he looked to what God had brought in him and was content in the way he was. That's what we need to do today. We need to realize how we're not in control. We're not the author of our situation. God is. There's been many times that the Lord's had to set my fields on fire, but he has. And it to get me to move. But he did it because he loved me. He did it because he had a plan, and I had to be a part of it. That's it. We've had our little children get saved over there in Edgewood. It's because God put us all together, made the environment. The church made sure that the Spirit was welcome. The church made sure that them little kids were welcome. And God the Father, whose plan it was for Joseph to go in Egypt, God the Father who draws unto his son. It was his plan for them to be drawn and to be saved. Amen. You know, we ain't got as much power in this as we think we do. But we do have the ability and the power to be obedient to God and to be obedient to the Spirit. We have the power to keep on. We do. We have the power to keep marching on. There's soldiers. They march. They march as long as they're told to march. They go as far as they need to go. But the war we fight today, Brother Steve, I'll be honest. I spend so much time fighting this man on the inside. I don't get to do as much fighting as I need to do with Christian Hopkins and Powers. Because I happen to worry about me so much. But I know this. this morning. This is where I'm at. This is where I'm at today. This is where my life is today. I can't sit down on the Lord. I just got to keep moving on. I just got to trust Him. Just like we do for the message, brother. We just got to trust Him for our situation and our life. We just got to trust Him. We just got to hang on. We just got to keep moving forward. There ain't no moving back, and there ain't no sitting still. If you ever climbed a hill that it had rained on and the pebbles were on top of the ground and the water, there ain't nothing but little rocks sitting on little pillars of dust, and you start walking up that hill, you're either climbing or you're sliding back. There ain't no sitting still. That's the way life is. We're either moving forward up the hill toward the top of the mountain, or we're sliding back and we ain't getting nowhere. That's just as simple as that. What do we need to do today? Just like Jonah, we need to just keep moving. Let our hearts be tender, our words be comforting, our lives be a light, and give while we have to give. I love the part where it says over there that he had his nephews and his grandnephews. Oh, and some great-grandchildren that he brought them up on his knees, sharing his wisdom and love. Folks, we ain't too old to love in the day that we live in. We ain't too old to carry on. Now, this thing ain't over. I haven't heard that trumpet yet. And I think when we hear that trumpet, brother, I think it was Brother Mike, that trumpet, we'll understand it. It'll be clear, and everyone will know what his purpose is. I'm just waiting for that trumpet. When this day, this time we're living in, it's called to an end, and it changes. I love the fact that I'll be changed. I just ain't happy with the way I am. I don't mind looking in the mirror, y'all. I ain't that bad. I'm a little bit, still got enough old flesh man in me where if I got the mirror fogged up just enough, I still look kind of handsome. But the truth is, I ain't happy with all that I could be doing that I'm not doing, Brother Steve. And the reason I'm not is because the Lord ain't satisfied. Preacher, why are you fessing up? Well, we all fessed up with all.
That's right. God bless you.
We would. Is he satisfied? Are we marching? Are we moving forward? Are we climbing the hill? If we're going to get to the mountaintop, he ain't going to pick us up and set us down up there. We're just going to have to make our way up there. And we're going to have to do it by his grace, his love, and his strength. If we get healed in the day we live, it'll be because he is a healer and our physician. It's not our bodies that need to be healed sometimes. It's his heart on the inside. I had to go in there and fix my fleshly heart. And every now and then, Brother Steve got to get on my knees. And I got to fix that hard flesh that God put in me. That one that God is the author of and the creator of. The one that is fashioned in the likeness and the image of him. I know this over there, Joseph. Over there, he was talking to his brothers, and he wept. And he did it because his brothers couldn't see what Joseph could see. What, preacher, what did Joseph see over there? Well, Joseph saw how that God had a plan from the very beginning. How God had wrought through him his plan. And how his brothers did not perceive it. You know, there's a lot of folks over there that stood at Golgotha's hill and they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" They just didn't get it, did they, Michael? How they didn't get it. How I believe Joseph over there was getting it. I believe as far as a man could see and spiritually, I believe Joseph wept because he knew. He knew what it takes to be in his position.
Amen.
He knew what it takes to give life to people. He knew that one day there'd be a Savior. I believe he did. And I knew, and he knew that he was not going to leave Egypt. He said, because when I die, he said, I want you to take me up, take my bones. And he told him where he wanted to be buried. He wanted to be buried. He wanted to, when y'all go over into that land that is promised to Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that land, he said, I want you to take me with you. And they did that very thing. He got out of there, or his bones got out of there, but he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Folks, we just need to be content where we're at. It ain't going to be riches and mansions and all that kind of thing as far as worldly goes. I think most of us have just decided that really wouldn't be for us anyway. Brother, I'd hate to know I had to take care of Donald Trump's money. I would. I'd be losing it. People would be taking it from me left and right because I wouldn't know how to take care of it. But I'll tell you this one. What I got in the Lord, nobody can take from me. What we got in salvation, there's none that can take from us. There's not a principality, a power. In fact, there's nothing on this world that can hinder us from doing what's supposed to do.
That's right.
Not even the gates of hell. Who was it said that this morning? Shall prevail against her this morning. I love the way Brother Bo put it one time. He testified. He said that it's just like you could walk up the church and kick the gates of hell wide open and go in for a lost soul. We can, Brother Bo. Gates of hell won't stop us. They won't. We kick them wide open, march right down through them, take the gospel, and souls will be saved. But you know what we got to do? We got to keep marching, and we have to do a kicking every once in a while
right.
to knock a gate open. That's what we've got to do. If we're waiting around till we get patted on the back before we make the next move, we'll just be waiting around till we slide back down to the bottom of the hill. It's time to move on. It's for us to keep going. There's no quitting in this thing. It's till we die in the flesh, because we'll never die spiritually.
Amen.
Now that part that Christ placed in me, when he breathed the breath of life into it, it's eternal. And it'll be that way always. I told y'all it wouldn't take me long to preach this morning. Over there, Joseph he wept because they didn't understand that God's plan for them in their lives. They didn't understand how God, and they didn't trust their brother to know that. And they didn't know him well enough the time they'd been with him to know his character. I'll be honest with us. I like the way the Advent Church teaches it. They teach about the signature of God. And that is when God rested on the seventh day. And when he created everything, he rested on the seventh day. What did he rest in? He rested in peace, didn't he? If you want something, if you want to know whether or not God's hand in it, look for his signature. If you want to know whether a person's real or not, worth marching aside, look for their character to see if their character lines up with God. And we know one of the ways we can tell that, and we learned in the Sunday school this morning, what comes out of their mouth, it's going to be what's in their heart. Where your treasures are, there will your heart also be. If your treasures are in this world, that's all we're going to talk about is this world. But if the treasures are in the glory world, that's going to be what we talk about. This morning, we need to let everybody know where our heart is, where our treasure is. And we need to know that there's no quitting place this morning.
Right.
Got to keep on keeping on this morning. Over there, our Savior went to Calvary. He knew God had a purpose, and he knew what his place was. And did his flesh want to be there? No. He cried as though he prayed until his sweat became as drops of blood. Over there, he was earnest unto the Lord. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Today, that's what we need to realize. It's God's will in our lives, not ours, that we need to bow down to. It's God's will. Actually, I said bow down to. It's God's will we need to accept in our lives so that he can lift us up
where
he wants us to be, so that he can use us today. That's the message
Bless
this morning. That's all I have. And I sure was wanting to hear Brother Steve preach this morning. But this morning, I gotta go home and pray for Sister Linda. I got a God that I have to live with.
Yes.
And I got to be obedient to him.
Amen.
And if I went home, no telling what I'd suffer this morning. He bounced back and forth there a little bit between us. He did. And I'm not mad at him for it this morning. He might need, Steve, bless his heart, I've been where you are. And I've been waiting for another preacher to jump up and say, I got it. And the Lord, and when they did, I was happy. I was glad because I didn't know where I was going to go. But I have been up here, not knowing where I was going to go. Not knowing, all I knew is that I was going to go when the Lord urged and when the Lord put the burden on our heart. And the Lord has always been faithful. He never leave us without. And I've learned all I have to do is trust him. When I first started preaching, I started preaching here, and this is just for the churches, I guess this morning. I would try to plan a message out before I got here. And there's several times that I've preached the message out in my own heart and get here and not have a thing. Or try to preach what I thought of or what I thought should be brought out in the message and try to, and God would cut me off that quick. And I have to stand behind the pulpit and repent before I can move forward. Our lives don't have to be that way.
That's right.
We don't have to stop. We don't have to halt and repent if we just keep our eyes focused and we keep on marching and we keep moving. There ain't no quitting in this thing. We may not make it, but I believe we need to just keep marching until we hear that trumpet.
Amen.
And in the last day, when the archangel will step one foot on land and one on the sea and declare time to be no more. You know, I'm glad God created time. I am. He did it. He did it so our infinite minds could be at peace here in this world. So we can see the cycle of nature. I like it in the Sunday school lesson. There's four Greek words in there that cover those. When he went through the first Greek word when he's talking about the tongue over there, about what it would do, it was nature. It was about the wheel, is I think the Greek reference, which means the cyclic part of nature. Then the next was when it talked about the beast and the serpent and all. That's just nature itself, all the animals and all that live and exist. But the last was that last part was mankind. It was talking about human nature over there. And that tongue, it affects every type of nature. Our life, what's in our heart is going to show in every aspect of our life, whether we want it to or not. That's right. So that's the message, Brother Steve. We ain't got no quitting place. We got to keep moving on. Even if we don't see the end, even if we don't see what we want to see, we just know and trust that God will bring it.
Amen.
God will do his part to say what he and have bring to fruition that he's always been true. He doesn't lie. He cannot lie. And if we want the blessings of God in the life that we live, obedience is the price that we have to pay. It's a lot better than sacrifice. And that's the message.
Lord, God bless you.
You carry out the service any way you need. Boy, no,
Daddy. Love you, brother. Amen. Let's get this red book back out. Let's all stand and look to 306.